The year was 1998. The place was Malone College, Canton, Ohio. My parents were dropping me off for my freshman year of college. I did not know a single person. I had never lived in Ohio before. Everything was new. Dorm room, roommate, campus, books, cafeteria, people, freshman orientation, all new. One of the first things I remember about that first year of college was College Rush. You all know what College Rush is. All the groups and organizations and teams set up tables around the quad so that everyone could see what was happening around campus and how to get involved. There was Froggy's Cafe, the place where commuters hung out, the on-campus radio station, the intramural sports teams, the newspaper, the yearbook, even local churches were there. So many ways to get involved, so many ways to find belonging. And the question was, where do I fit in? Who are the people I belong with? It took me some time to figure out exactly where I belonged when I went to college, and each time I have moved in my life, it has taken some time to figure that out. Can anyone relate to that? When my husband Rich and I moved to Waterford, we had to figure all that out. We had to learn about the places that existed and where we could find belonging, even things as simple as which grocery store are we going to, which church, well, we knew that, but which bank, which gym, which school, what library, what's the closest Starbucks or the best place to grab a quick bite for lunch? If you have kids or grandkids, the questions might include the best playgrounds or kid-friendly activities. Where can my kids find friends and a place to belong? Even which grocery store has the best carts? If you have children that like race cars, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We love watching sports, Rich and I, and when moving to a new place, one of the first questions was, where can we find people to watch football and basketball games with? And who wears the right colors? I didn't care, but I want to know, who are my kids becoming friends with, and who are their parents? Where do we belong? Jesus, as he called his disciples, offered a sort of backwards rush. Instead of giving the fishermen several options about where they could get involved, Jesus approaches them and offers them a place to belong. He simply said, "Come, follow me." He also said he would show them how to fish for people, and right away, those fishermen left their nets. They left their father, they left their boat, and they followed Jesus. Something about Jesus called to him, aside from his voice. Something about Jesus exuded belonging, a place to find meaning, and they left everything they knew and were comfortable with and followed Jesus. Jesus calls the disciples. They walk with him, they learn from him, they become friends, they create community. Through their shared experiences, they change their behaviors. Because of their relationship with Jesus and one another, they adopt new or changed beliefs. Their lives look different because of the place where they have found belonging. As today is United Methodist Student Sunday, I asked some of our college students to share a story about how they found belonging in college, and here is Trina's story. It took me a long time to find where I belonged in college. It wasn't until my third year at Saginaw Valley that I started feeling as if I was finding my place. I joined a volunteer organization and a religious group on campus. I started feeling like I was where I was supposed to be and around people with similar morals, but I still never felt like I fully belonged. It wasn't until I transferred to Concordia University that I almost instantly felt like I was where I belonged. It's a very Christian university, and you can tell by the people and the atmosphere on campus. During my first week, I had people coming up to me saying that they didn't recognize me, and asked if I was new. When I told them that it was my first semester, they invited me to different activities and to the daily chapel that is held on campus. I felt so welcomed and could really feel the presence of God. When I started in the nursing program, I felt even more like I belonged. I was around people that were both Christ-minded and academic-minded. Not only are the students Christ-minded, but so are the professors. I have professors that offer to pray over me before big exams or nursing checkoffs. My professors tell me that their door is always open, whether it be academic or personal. They have really provided a comforting Christ-centered atmosphere. Before starting in the nursing program, I had an orientation. At the orientation, one of the first things the dean of the student of the nursing program said was that we were all there in that room at that time for a reason, that God had worked in our lives to get us there at that specific time. Hearing her say that really confirmed to me that this was where I belonged. Trina has found belonging through those relationships. Fast forward through Jesus' story, his disciples graduated, or at least finished Jesus school, or so they thought. Jesus had died. They didn't know what to do, but they were together. And then Jesus is alive again, and their world is turned upside down. Hear these words again. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I've commanded. Jesus has given us the outline for transformed living, for what it means to be the church. You might have experienced Christianity in this way. You need to believe in a certain way, which will change your behavior, and once you act in a certain way, then and only then will you belong in our church. I have heard so many people say to me that they need to get right before God before they will be comfortable coming to church. However, is this what we experience from how Jesus calls his disciples? Consider with me these three B's: belonging, belief, and behavior. As I was collaborating this week, a friend emailed me an article by Dan R. Dick that I gleaned from. He writes that there is a mutual overlap that helps individuals connect through their core beliefs and values, rituals and practices, and relationships and fellowship. The areas of overlap constitute where most people define church, the place we go, the associations we form, and the place where we learn the basics of our faith. A healthy balance of these B's in our life, individually and collectively, is imperative to be the church in the world. When any of these spheres become the primary driver, we find disequilibrium. Something is off. When belief is the primary driver, we find tension. Right thinking, right believing, right understanding, and right teaching all set a fragile dynamic where anyone who disagrees is wrong. Belief becomes an intellectual exercise. We can debate concepts and ideas forever, with the basic result that we damage belonging and connection, and we reduce behaviors to those actions that validate our own beliefs. We draw lines around us about who is in and who is out. This creates an us versus them mentality. The emphasis is all about the individual. When behavior is the primary focus, we may find strict obedience to a restrictive code or a faith that is reduced to social activism. Doing good trumps a healthy relationship with God or an intentional engagement with a faith community. On the extremes, you may find faith without works is dead, but works without faith is fine. Or Christian activities like going to church, giving an offering, attending church functions, and reading the church newsletter are all it takes to be a good Christian. When behavior is the focus, somehow judging as a wrong behavior is ignored. Our good behavior gives us the right to judge the bad behaviors of others. In the church of holy behavior, it's what you do, not what you believe, that makes all the difference in the world. And then there are some who are really not concerned with what to believe or how to behave as long as they are included as part of the in crowd. To belong is right. To belong is better than. To belong is to be safe. As long as I'm a member of the church, it doesn't really matter how I live my life. When the church is a club a person belongs to, they tend to focus on rights and entitlements, not responsibilities and the common good. They will fight to the death to preserve the status quo and keep themselves comfortable, secure, and surrounded by the things they love. And then we have the example of Jesus. He shows us a model that offers hope, a model where the three spheres overlap so closely that it's difficult to distinguish between them. Jesus called the disciples. He built relationships. Through those relationships, the disciples changed their behavior and then their beliefs. Jesus taught them. He didn't expect them to be perfect from the moment he called them from their boats. He taught them. He modeled. He lived with them. He walked through hard times with them. And he does the same with us. Jesus calls us into relationship with him. It's a place of belonging. And then as we live with Jesus, learn from Jesus, live in community with others who love Jesus and are being transformed by him, then our behavior changes and our beliefs are formed. The same is true for our church today. Beliefs are shared beliefs, and the differences of understanding and worldview in no way prevent people from feeling connected and united. Community, being together for a common purpose, trumps individualism, and the whole feels greater than the parts. The corporate behaviors are affirmed and supported within the community and beyond the community. The focus is on building and strengthening the body. We focus on what should be done, not worrying so much about what shouldn't be done. Today, we not only celebrate United Methodist Student Sunday, when we can celebrate the students in our midst and the ministry that we can equip and empower through special giving, but today is also the last Sunday in the Christian calendar called Christ the King Sunday. A day when we consider the whole story of Jesus, from his birth to his life as a rabbi, teaching disciples and people who crowded all around him, performing miracles and healing the sick, to his death on a cross and placement in a tomb, to his resurrection from the dead. A miracle in itself. The story starts as Jesus calls his disciples. It continues with the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all nations. Find where you belong. Seek out people who are looking for belonging. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that baptism, our behavior starts to change. And teach them all that I've commanded, our beliefs. Then the process starts all over again as we share and spread the good news of Jesus Christ into the world. There's a painting on the board, or on the screen. What's your first reaction to this artwork? What do you think could be going on here? What emotions do you feel? I did a Google search for Great Commission images, and this was one of the images that came up. And it's probably hard to see if you're not super close to it. But there's a lot of people in the painting, and they all look different, but they're all going in the same direction. They're all moving together. How would our lives, our church, our community, our world be different if we embrace this? Instead of trying to get people to change their mind, what if we listen to one another? What if we took a moment to consider life in someone else's shoes? What if we share joy and a smile even when we don't feel like it? What if we had honest, courageous conversations instead of griping to our neighbor? How do our lives look different because we belong to this place, to one another, and to God? Next Sunday begins the season of Advent as we prepare for the Christ child, as we make room in our hearts and lives for the one who loves us unconditionally. What does it mean for us to be the church in the world? What is one way you can live transformed? How does your life look different because you belong to Jesus Christ? It could mean participating in the reverse Advent calendar. You all know those Advent calendars where you open a box a day and there's a cheap piece of chocolate in there, right? What if we did that backwards? What if we start with an empty box and put a non-perishable food item in the box every day during Advent and then give it to the food pantry here or another place on Christmas Eve? It could mean participating in an Advent study or doing Advent devotions at home. It could mean participating in a mission project. We have lots of opportunities right now. It could mean inviting someone to the conversation brunch next week or to this service so that someone who needs God's love already has someone walking with them. It could mean coming to the Peacemakers Advent event next Sunday. If you are a prayer partner, it could mean coming with your prayer partner family and learning about peace, peacemaking, Advent, and global migration. How do we impact our world? Jesus calls us into relationship so that we can be transformed on the inside and the outside through belief, behavior, belonging, and as the body of Christ. Amen.